Welcome back. 27 minutes past 8 o'clock. We await President Cyril Ramaphosa's address to the nation, expected to take place just in a few moments' time, but we allow for some space for him to be a little bit late. That's why we thought we'd get Philip Bam on the line. He speaks for the Grassy Park Policing Forum. Thanks so much for joining us, Philip. You, as a CPF, you issued a statement, you issued an open letter to communities saying that community leaders should be coming out, speaking to their residents, saying that we understand the frustrations, we understand the hunger of people, but if things continue of what we've been seeing over the last few days of stoning and looting of trucks, the ambushing of grocery stores, the ambushing of food delivery points, that this could actually lead to a far greater lockdown than what we are experiencing at the moment.
Yeah, thank you, Lester. Thanks for the opportunity. Yes, I think it's important for us to understand that the attacks on police vehicles, the torching of police vehicles, stoning of police, the looting, just plain simple criminality that is going on, is an undermining of the government, the state. And in order for the state to get back control of the situation, they will have to take harsher steps than the lockdown that we have at the moment. And what we fear is that these people who do these things are inviting a state of emergency. And under a state of emergency, it is not going to be as comfortable as we are even in this lockdown at the moment. So we're saying to people, stop it now. Stop the vandalism. Schools are being vandalized. It's just not on. And our biggest concern is the lasting impact, the legacy of all of this, when little children are being involved in the looting and the stealing. And we want our people to understand, we like our leaders, and anybody who has any influence to talk to the people, talk to the people in your street, talk to the people in your township. It doesn't help. It's not going to be in our interest to be undermining the state in this way. When you attack a police vehicle, you torch two police vehicles in one clip that I saw. I mean, if that happens, then we are really, really looking for trouble.
But Philip, a hungry belly doesn't wait for niceties. A hungry belly doesn't wait for the president to make an announcement that eventually there will be a rescue package and you'll either get an extension on your social grant or somewhere down the line you'll get a food parcel. A hungry belly is desperate.
No, we do understand a hungry belly, but I just want to know how a hungry belly eats a cash register that's being stolen out of a store that they are looting. I mean, you can see that there's a big criminal element in this thing, and it's not only the poor people and the hungry people that are rising up. One can understand that, but what we need to understand, we've got to give this whole thing a chance. Things don't happen overnight as it is expected to happen, and I think the gangsters and the criminal elements are exploiting the situation, and the people are falling for this. They're falling into the trap, and it's going to be even worse if there is a state of emergency. I don't know what the president is going to say, but we've got to try and prevent the military ruling us and taking control of our streets. And that is our plea to people. Stop it now. Stop the looting. Stop the vandalizing. Stop attacking the police. Because if you attack the police, you are really attacking the state. And that's how
Are you having the same conversation with the police? Telling the police, don't abuse, don't hit, don't undermine people who are simply trying to find a way to live.
You saw, you can read in our statement, we also condemn and we are unhappy with the abuses that there has been and the police brutality that we have also seen. It's totally unnecessary. And we're saying to the police as well, respect the citizens, the soldiers as well. It's our people. And they might get frustrated, but they are not going to harm you if you don't harm them. And I think people get frustrated when they are being abused and being kicked around by the police. And we must appeal to our security forces also to be firm, yes, but to be dignified in being firm.
Philip Bam speaks for the Grassy Park Community Policing Forum. Philip, I've been speaking to quite a lot of you people over the last few weeks. I've had the ability to travel around with my journalist permit. I've noticing a lot more people on the ground, a lot more people walking around, particularly in our under-resourced areas. Because in the beginning, the lockdown was taken seriously. I'm sure it is still taken seriously, but that desperation is starting to creep in. It's one thing for people whose jobs have been closed and they can't now go to their place of employment. But now what we're seeing is the guys who scurrel, the guys who go around with their trolleys and collect scrap. Of course, there is a criminal element in some of that as well, but people who just go to dumps and come around to a building site looking for scrap. They are now, what I'm seeing compared to a week ago, more of people like this outside looking for some scrap to exchange for some money. What are you seeing out there in the Grassy Park, Lotus River Park, Parklands area?
Well, we're seeing the same thing, but you know, people are becoming creative and so on. The other day I saw one of these shopping trolleys being a mobile liquor store. The guy goes down the road and he sells liquor from his trolley. But more than that, there are a lot of people just riding around. I hear the cars going around in our area here. Yeah. I spoke to a youngster the other day and I said to him, "Guy, you've got to be staying at home. You're down this road every few minutes and it's not acceptable. Stay at home." But this is the problem. In our main road here, CBD area, you can see there's lots of activity. It's not like it is a lockdown at all. And that is part of the problem. Because if the police doesn't act against those people who are walking around aimlessly sometimes, and just because they are bored and so on, then the people get to understand that the police does nothing and therefore you can take a chance. Mm. And of course, what is worrying to us at the moment is that the criminals have taken advantage of this. I mean, they are now even so blasé, they come into people's properties while the people are in the house. And that is just a sign of them saying, they're throwing the middle finger to the law enforcement agencies because they know nothing is going to happen. And even if they are caught, they know that they'll be out again tomorrow. And that's a big problem. So people, somehow or the other, we need to get the message across. And the only way you get the message across is for leaders in the community, people who have some standing and someone who gets some respect from the community, to speak out, to encourage our people to stay at home, be safe, and save the nation.
Philip, at the beginning of the lockdown, I spoke to you as a member of a community watch about the regulations that do not include neighborhood watches, community watches, neighborhood patrols as part of the essential service. Just spoke to JP Smith now. He says about 400 neighborhood watch members have now been incorporated into the disaster risk management volunteer force. With the absence of that neighborhood watch in your community, has there been a spike in crime, or what has there been a noticeable difference without neighborhood watches there?
Obviously, without the neighborhood watches there, and without us being on the street checking people that just walking around with long knives in their pockets and so on in their sides, without that happening at the moment, there's no deterrent for the guy who walks up at 3 in the morning, no deterrent for him. And that is why we say, you know, there's got to be, something's got to be done. Crime is on the up, although I see ministers and so on talking about there's been a drop in crime. It is not true. Mm. The real experience on the level, on the ground level, is that crime is up, but people know that nothing happens, and so some of them don't even report. And even if they report, the statistics only show actual cases opened. It doesn't show crime reported by the community. And that is the problem. We've got a skewed statistical system.
Philip, I'm seeing a messenger from Ray in Manenberg. He says, good evening, Lester. Law enforcement are cracking down on lockdown breakers in Johannesburg. Why are we not seeing the same here in the Cape Flats? What are they afraid for here in Cape Town? Your thoughts on that?
Well, it's just one of those things that's peculiar to Cape Town, that the law enforcement agencies focus on a particular area or a particular problem, and they are not, and even the South African Police Service as well, they're not going around preventing crime or preventing people from being on the road. They are responders. They are not proactive. They are reactive, and that is our problem. And, you know, a person like myself, I've just given up calling the police and saying, look here, these guys are making a noise here. You can't, because there's nothing is being done about it. And I'm sure there are so many people who are frustrated and say there's no sense in us even calling the police.
Philip, just stay on the line. We want to take a call from Valerie in Brackenfell. How are you doing, Valerie?
Good evening, Lester, and your guest.
What's on your
mind?
Yeah,
you know, it makes no sense. It makes just no sense that when people burned down trains before the disaster happened with the virus. But, yeah, that is the criminal element. How can that fill anyone's gut to burn down trains and schools and destroy things? I mean, they do exactly the opposite. The government has to again find the money to build everything up what they destroys. I mean, you know, how many schools have been burned? How can that fill anyone's gut? Mm. They are absolutely revolting. They're just criminals, and that is just an excuse now. I don't believe. I mean, that's criminal. That's the bottom line. Mm-hmm. And I hope the virus is taking all of these vandalizers in the entire country, in the entire world with them.
Valerie, you can't be wishing on the death of anyone. Valerie, the M. Brackenfell, thanks so much. Look, I am, Philip, I am part of a sector of that believes that people use protest as a form of valid communication with government. I totally believe that is a valid part of democracy. Yes, when protest turns violent and that is then another question. But your message to community members who feel that they have to join some sort of element in the stoning of a bread truck or the stoning of a delivery van that's coming down the R300?
Yeah, look, my message is to people, let's stop it now. Really, let's stop it. You will get your food parcel. And I know that hunger is now. It is right now. But what's the sense in destroying the opportunity? Because people will withdraw. That truck is not going to come down that road anymore. And the food parcel is not going to get there. So we're saying people need to understand the consequences. But the unfortunate thing is that there are people who know what they are doing, who know how to exploit a situation like that. And the unfortunate part of it all is that it has been shown that the government, all spheres of government, only respond if there is a protest somewhere. Mm. And that is the problem. The need, the hunger need has always been there. The need for feeding people has always been there. And we've done nothing about it. We've actually exacerbated the poverty situation. We've increased the numbers in the poverty group. And we've done nothing to correct that. And I hope that we have learned now that the authorities have learned, the government has learned, and those people who claim to represent us as councillors and members of parliament have now seen the condition in which our people are living. And really, it's ridiculous that in a country like South Africa, where we have enough resources, that there are so many poor people living in this country. We should have done something about it long time ago.
Stephen on the WhatsApp line says, we are ready to listen to our president, Lester. And yes, we are waiting to listen to our president. Philip Bam, thank you so much speaking for the Grassy Park Policing Forum. We are waiting for President Cyril Ramaphosa to take to his podium at the Union Buildings in Pretoria to give us an update on how we see ourselves, on whether this lockdown will continue, expected or was scheduled to go until the 30th of April. But who knows? We've seen a spike in the number of infections over the last few days, and just being announced a few hours ago, the Western Cape announced as being essentially the epicenter of the COVID-19 epidemic in South Africa. We will be bringing you President Ramaphosa's address live, but we'll be back after this.